First Timothy chapter 5, we've been going verse by verse. Pick it up at verse 17, and we'll read down through verse 19. That'll exhaust a couple thoughts this morning. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, based on what we have been able to learn from the scripture, going verse by verse, and the fact that we use the definition of terms and words based on what we have learned, we'll try to understand what verse 17 through 19 exactly, who it's talking to, what it's about, and why it's there. Let the elders that rule well. Well, one thing for sure, these elders would be the God-called men that preach and teach the word in the church. You say, oh, how'd you get that? Remember, we defined the term elder a few weeks ago. If somebody uses the word elder in a sentence, context defines the term. So we're talking about an elder. We learned that here in the scriptures, one of the definitions is a small bush growing down by the creek that grows elderberries. And we're not talking about that elder because it doesn't have anything to do with a tree planted anywhere. And so the next definition is all older folks. Next definition is all older folks. Well, how's the context treat that? It says here, as we look carefully at this, he says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So he's not talking about all the older folks in the church. He's talking about just those that rule well. Oh, okay. And so that's what makes doctrine, understanding what it's saying and why it's saying what it's saying, and not just a generic, oh, it just means everybody, all the old folks in church. Oh, you know, that's not what he's saying. So with that thought, here, because of the context of our passage, they who labor in the word and doctrine. So it'd be those God-called men that labor in the word as we do, as your preachers do, as the men of God that teach the word of God and preach the word of God. And here, because elder is always found in the catalog in this context with pastors, missionaries not in the Bible, evangelists in the Bible, and teacher. So those are the men that God used and God ordained. So the word elder is mentioned 175 times and doesn't always mean the man of God or the priest, as in the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, which are all priests. And if you read in the book of Revelations, he talks about the 24 elders seated around the throne. I'm going to ad-lib a little bit, give you a little idea. And that's not just all the old folks. That's the priests that are seated around, representing the priests that officiate in the Old Testament tabernacle. And there were 24 offices for the priest to fulfill. And so when you find them in Revelations around the throne of God, he has 24 elders which represent the 24 offices of the priesthood. It doesn't have nothing to do with all the old folks in the church. Doesn't have anything to do with the old widows or the old women in the church. Doesn't have anything to do with the old men in the church that have never been called into the ministry. It has something to do with the priest. Now, I understand you can spiritualize this, but when you start spiritualizing things, you can mess up doctrine in a hurry. So you spiritualize where you're allowed to spiritualize, and you leave it doctrinally where you're not. People would say this to spiritualize it. Well, we're all prophets, priests, and kings. I got that, but not down here, over there. So be careful with your spiritual application, because that's what a lot of folks do to prove that, well, anybody can preach. Women can preach, they can teach, and they can usurp authority over a man. No, you're tearing your Bible up with one spiritual interpretation. You've got your doctrine wrong, and that's what happens. That's why there's so many different denominations out there. Everybody spins it the way they want to spin it. Mary Baker Eddy, she got her things together because she didn't believe in hell. So she taught a religious order and a religious sect that didn't believe in hell. And so that's your Jehovah's Witness folks. There is no hell. You say, what is that? That's false doctrine. because somebody twisted it the way they want it. Leave it the way it stands. So back to the word elder here. It's talking about the God called men. Now, every time the word elder is found in the Bible, and it's found over 170 times, 175 possibly, take your Bible and go to Genesis. Genesis 50. Let's start in the beginning. Genesis 50, so you get an idea. And the best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God and how you find the words in their context. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 7, and Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Now guess what? Right there, the word elder is used, and guess what? It doesn't mean the God called men. It means all the old men and possibly all the old people. You say, well, how do you do that? Listen, may I introduce you to the English language? That's how the English language works. And when a person doesn't have the working knowledge of the English language and they try to interpret a supernatural spiritual book, then they're apt to get their doctrine wrong, and they do get their doctrine wrong, i.e. that's why all the different denominations, all the different flavors, and all the different beliefs, because somebody is just arresting it to their private interpretation. So you got to be careful with that. So we're going to leave it as it stands. So I wanted to show you that in Genesis 50. Now, I said it's mentioned 175 times. While you're there, you're right close to the book of Exodus. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. And I'll show you the use of the word again. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Guess what? That's all the old folks. That's not the priest. You say, how do you know that? Context defines it. And the context there is the general populace of all the elder folks. Now, we'll follow this reasoning out and see if the English language will work for us. And it does. And those are the little skill sets that you learn when you begin to study the Word of God. You learn something about your language, the language that you speak every day. And we know it. And sometimes we know it so well, we take it for granted, but if we don't watch the rules whereby it governs itself, we can get the wrong meaning for a word or a context. So you got to be careful with that. So let me go another place. We were in Exodus. We did that one. Well, let's go to Acts 14. Let's go to the New Testament. And I'm not going to give you all 175 places. That's something for you to study on your own. And you look at it sometimes and marvel at how the Holy Ghost chose those words, but set it in the context and down by the rules of the English language. And it makes sense when it's studied and understood correctly. So Acts chapter 14, the word is used again, but a little different sense. Acts chapter 14. Look, if you would, at verse 23. He says here, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, the use of the word elders there is not in reference to all the old people in the church. It's a reference to those few that were selected that are called elders, although their age could be young, as in Timothy was a young man, but considered an elder because it's more of a title in the context, because it's talking about a specific kind of elder, a leader or an ordained elder. So you got to be careful with how you grasp the doctrinal implication of these verses. So that's verse 23. Take your Bible while you're there, and I'm only giving you these things because I'm counting you on an intellectual level where you'll grab a hold of this thing and you go look at it for yourself somewhere down the road, and you'll set a pattern in this kind of studying, and it'll help you to solidify how you understand the Word of God. And that's the key to to becoming a strong Christian doctrinally. Take your Bible and go to Titus. The little epistle of Titus, verse 1. Chapter 1, let's go to verse 5. Titus 1, 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. He's not talking about ordaining every old person in Crete that gets saved and gets in the church. He's talking about ordaining elders, hence the title elders, those men of God that are going to do the work of a ministry there, preaching and teaching and leading the church. Not every old person. You follow what I'm saying? And if you get that thing wrong, you'll make a general statement. Well, he's talking about all the old people in the church. No, he's not. He's not. So context again. Okay, let me go a little further. Take your Bible and go to James chapter 5. And with that kind of thinking and that kind of reasoning, look at James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, try it about verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, that's not all the old people in the church. That's the God-called men in the church. Watch it. He says, and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And by the way, James is the writer of the book of James. James is the first epistle or the earliest epistle that was written for the early church in Jerusalem. James was probably the pastor at one time, maybe the senior pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And so you had a lot of Jewish influx, and it was at a time that the transition was starting to change that you read about in Acts chapter 15 and chapter 16, where Paul and Peter got in a dissertation about, is it by law or is it by grace? Is there any works involved in it, or is it all of grace? And they settled that thing and said it's all of grace. But you had a lot of folks that were in there that had that Jewish bleed through. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were so steeped into Judaism that it always bled through. Well, they loved the Lord by grace, but man, don't you think we ought to work at this? And it bled through. Now, you see that in a lot of folks. You take a guy that comes out of the world, and maybe he's educated in the world. Maybe he's educated in the philosophy of the world. Maybe he's educated in the social standings or orders of the world. When he gets behind this desk and the Lord says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and he can't hardly help himself, he'll default back into what he knows. And you say, what is that? That's old man, old world bleed through. And you got to be careful. So thank the Lord for folks that get saved young, get in the Word of God. And then, like Timothy was a young man when his mother and his grandmother taught him the Word of God when he got saved, probably a young man when God called him to preach. So when he gets up to start preaching, he didn't have no pharisaical bleed through. And by the way, Paul was able to put it behind him too. He says, I count all things but dung. And do we need to run that word through the English language? Everybody okay with that word? What is that? Hockey? not the word. What is that? That's a man that believes that book and isn't allowing the philosophical ideas of the world, the philosophical preferences that he may hold, the love for things that he may have learned to bleed through into the doctrines of that old book. And you have that a lot. Hence, that's why you have the different flavors of churches throughout the land. God allows some of that. God kind of lets it go. You say, why? That's why the church is lukewarm today. That's why it's not hot and on fire. And the thing starts in the pulpit. And if the pulpit's lukewarm, the church is lukewarm. Amen, Brother Phil. That's good preaching. And you can say you believe this old book. Oh, I believe the King James Bible. Man, I believe that thing from cover to cover, and I believe we're Bible believers around here. Don't you know we're Bible believers? Man, we're all packing King James Bibles. We're Bible believers. And you can live in opposition to what you say you believe. You don't treat your wife right. Oh, You don't treat people in the church right? Oh. You don't treat your dog right? Oh. You don't let your cat in at night? Oh. But you know what I'm saying. Just because somebody jumps up and bellers, I'm a Bible believer. Let me tell you something. The proof's in the pudding. How do you act? How do you talk? How do you come and go? What's your conversation like? I don't mean what you speak every day, because we can't trust what you say. How do you live it? Do you manifest a Bible believer's testimony? And let me say this as an old man. I see a lot of churches across land. I was in a church last week trying to help out. And the church, it's got troubles. Say, what's it? People are prone to do what they want to do everywhere. And if it's not got a strong pulpit and strong teaching and strong teaching, it'll wander off and drift off, and you'll have, people will be moved about by every wind of doctrine. Isn't that funny? He used the word doctrine. So back to our little thought here. So James 5:14 are examples of the word elders, meaning preachers, pastors, or God-called ordained men. And then John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, if you want to write it down or go look at it. Ye have not chosen me, and this is kind of a little spin on how God does the thing. And people say, well, nobody ever laid hands on me. If you're God called, God ordained you. He set you aside for that. Watch it. He says in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. And Jesus is teaching there on he's the vine and we're grafted in, so on and so forth. But when he has chosen you, and that chosen has to do with those God-called men that were following him. He says at that time, he uses the phrase, and ordained you. Say, what is that? That's a godly setting aside of the man of God. And I'm not going to make more out of it than it is, but that's the word used there, the word ordained. But I want you to be clear on that thing on elders. And the one good thing about going verse by verse, you're not inventing the topic for the hour moved by the emotions of what you feel or see. When you go verse, when a preacher will go verse by verse, systematically through the Word of God, he will touch and teach on all the button issues or red line issues that are out there. Now, if he just pulling stuff out of the air, he may not cover it, and he may waltz around this and waltz around this. Let me show you a place that most pastors will waltz around. No pastor likes to teach on this. Look at the next verse. We're in our text in 1 Timothy. Well, I'm in 2 Timothy. Let me get over here. 1 Timothy 17, verse 18. Most pastors won't teach this. For the Scripture saith, you know what? Oh, we're Bible believers. The Bible says, blah, blah, blah. We just go on and on about that, but then we'll skate over something that we don't want to talk about. Watch. And I have to teach it this morning because I'm right there. For the Scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now, you do understand what a metaphor is, metaphor. You do understand in the English language there are metaphors, allegories, and you need to know the definition of those terms. And when you're reading the Word of God, be careful for the word as and the word like. He is like a Boeing 747. Doesn't mean he is one. You can say, well, my Volkswagen's just like riding in a Cadillac. Yeah, you can say that. I don't believe it, but and it don't make your Volkswagen a Cadillac. See what I'm saying? So, but that's the English language. Now, watch how the English language is used here. He said, "For the Scripture saith." Now, he's referring back, and he does this. Why do you think it? And the Scripture said, "Why do you think that those three words were preserved by the Holy Ghost that you might see that, so that you can't come away saying, well, that's just an allegory, that's just a metaphor, and it's really not doctrine." No, he's going to substantiate what he's getting ready to say by Scripture someplace else in the Word of God, and all Scripture was given the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, so on and so forth. And he's going to give you the idea, or it, if you please, the solid foundation that the Scripture saith you can hang your hat on it. It's said in another place. So let's look at this a little carefully. So we want to pay attention. He's just not throwing idle words around. And by the way, there are no idle words thrown around here in the Word of God. We may skip over parts we don't like or we don't prefer, but there's nothing idle or unimportant about the Word of God. So let's look at it. He said, "So now we know the Scripture saith in some other place, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." And you're going to say, "Oh my goodness, what's he talking about now, man? I just have no clue what he's talking about." Let me give you the first clue. The verse before it is in the context of that passage. And what were we just talking about? Those that rule well the house of God. Oh, an elder, which is also a pastor, God called preacher, and somebody that handles the Word of God and teaches the Word of God and preaches the Word of God. So be careful with that, okay? So he's talking about the man of God that treadeth out the corn. Well, what's an ox? Well, I get the picture that an ox is yoked up and somebody's plowing corn with him. Yeah, that's the exact picture he wants you to get. And you know when that ox is plowing and he swings his head around and bites off the top of that young little tender corn plant, you're not supposed to have him muzzled. You say, well, what does that mean? That means it's going to take something for the guy laboring in the field he's in. He needs to be able to eat of that field. That's scriptural. Can I say this again? Paying the man of God is scriptural. But there'll be a lot of people with false doctrine that'll throw their hands up. Oh, we pay the preacher. Why are we paying the preacher? Who do they think they are? Let them go get a job like everybody else. Look, I've had a job all my life, and I've preached for nothing in every church I've ever been in. And when I preached in the last church I pastored for 14 years, they gave me $200 a week that I never put in my bank account. I signed the check over and put it back in the offering, and I'd wait for a week till the drawer was full, or a month, and I'd sign them all and put them all back in. And people said, people in the church, you know, have a little business meeting. Boy, we're doing good. Where'd all that money come? Man, God is blessed. Everybody's tithing. I wasn't taking the money. And we had $25,000. And by the way, I tithed our business. And our business did pretty well in those years. So we was able to put a roof on the parsonage, blacktop the parking lot, pay all the bills, do this, do the remodeling, do all. You say, why? Well, I've often thought back on that, and I can now. I might have sinned against that church by not taking a little something from them, and I didn't take anything. Gave it all back. But you know, that's what Paul did, so that he couldn't be accused of taking anything. And when you don't take anything and people finally figure it out and they say, hey, what's wrong with you? We're trying to be a blessing to you here. You need to take a little something. And I thank the Lord for those folks. But on the other hand, there's a bunch of people running around saying, we shouldn't give the preacher anything. You pay him too much now. Anyhow, let's look at this. And I don't believe that 5 minutes. Watch this. He says, you don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn, or muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the labor is worthy of his reward. If he's laboring in that field, and we do, Pastor Jeremiah, myself, Pastor Tom, and Pastor Samuel, or any of the other, anybody that we have here on staff like that. You say, what's going on? And I thank the Lord. I thank the church for how you support us and take care of us. You say, well, is that scriptural? Sure, it's scriptural. But you'll always have somebody jump up and say, oh, we need to cut everybody's pay. Let's just cut that thing to the quick. Be careful with that thing. The last time I checked, God is not broke, and the people of God aren't broke. And I would say, first, let's look at, you take a good, close examination of yourself and see if you're really doing your part. Well, I just don't put my money in the offering plate because I don't like the way the money's handled around here. Then go find a church where you like how the money's handled. Because let me give you a little tip. The money ain't yours anyway. It's all God's. Amen? You say, oh, I got here by pulling up my own bootstraps. If you think that, you are delusional. You got there because of God's grace and God's blessing, and you're too blind to see it. So don't be afraid to give back to what God has given you. And he only asks for 10% if you're a tither. But you know what? Across the board, we don't have many tithers. I can look at our offering and tell you, people don't tithe. See, how you figure that? Don't make me go there. Remember when I taught on money and Pastor Tom had me teach on money? I wrote down all the people that were in the class and I divided it by two and I put a number up there, what you may make, and I took 10% of that and I added it all up and we came up with some figure up in the $8,000 and $9,000 bracket and our offering was $1,400 every week. Hello? Somebody's stealing from God and it ain't the man of God. That was free today. I don't know. So look at verse 17. We looked at the first part of that in verse 18. And that labor is worthy of the reward. Let's go back to verse 7. Let the elders rule well. They be counted worthy of what? Be careful. Watch it. Another doctrinal lesson. Double honor. What in the world is that? Double honor. How do you honor someone? How do you do this? And he's talking about the man of God. Well, one of the Ten Commandments says, you do believe in the Ten Commandments. You are in favor of keeping the Ten Commandments, aren't you? You are against all those people that are taking the Ten Commandments down away from the courthouses and the schools and all that stuff. You are on board with, you are a Bible believer, right? Right. One of the Ten Commandments says this, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And Exodus 20 is your catalog of the Ten Commandments. Now let me say this. That's the word the Holy Ghost chose to leave there. Honor your father and mother. But now we're over in the New Testament and he says, counted worthy of double honor. What? Okay. How, Numbers chapter 22, verse 17, here, watch how this, let me give you a little lesson on the word honor. He says, for I, at Numbers 22, 17, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. Okay, so honor has something to do with being promoted. Be careful. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people. And at a time the nation of Israel was moving forward, and the people were numbered, to give you a little context, but the people around about them wanted to them to succumb to them, and they wanted to curse them, but God wouldn't allow them to be cursed. And then here, the guy was promised, that was to try to curse them, he was promised a promotion and great honor. So honor has something to do with a promoting of someone. Watch this, Deuteronomy 26, verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made in praise and in the name and in honor. So it has something to do with a high place or a higher place. It has something to do with is praise, has something to do with a good name and honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people, has something to do with being holy unto the Lord thy God as he has spoken. And I said earlier, the best commentary on the word of God is the word of God. We could go define the word honor, but it means to hold someone in high esteem. That's your dictionary definition with the word honor. And now he says, they be counted worthy of, be careful, the Holy Spirit put the word in there, not me. Double honor. What is that? I don't know, but I think if I would try to find something going on somewhere for that man of God that you could double. Oh, yeah, that's right. You wanted to cut his pay. And then you just told me you were a Bible believer. You follow what I'm saying? So let's get our doctrine straight on that. And I'm not saying a pastor shouldn't take a cut. I'm not saying that. There might be a time when he should and he could and he does and so on and so forth. I got all that. I'm not saying. I'm just saying this is stuff that gets washed around and doesn't get taught. And there's a lot on it. So Solomon was honored by God. So how did God do it? Let me give you this verse and we'll quit. 2 Chronicles, I'm about out of time. Can you tell I've taken a little liberty? I'm 4 minutes over. I just get into this stuff, man. Hang on, I'll let you sing in a minute. 2 Chronicles 1, 11 and 12. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, this is God speaking, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Verse 12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches, wealth, and honor. Isn't that funny what you find in that catalog? Riches, wealth, and honor. You say, what is that? That's God honoring Solomon. And there's not just one thing there. There's a couple things there. And he says, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. So double honor means find something and double it for your pastor if you want to show him double honor. Oh, we do too much for him. You'll never get that in Scripture. That is a human nature, knee-jerk, humanistic source of reasoning. I'm just trying to be practical here. No, you're pragmatic. You want it the way you want it. You don't want it the way God wants it. Somebody said, you want to fire your preacher? Double his pay that week. You'll fire him. Fire him up. Man, anyway, bless God. He'll be going crazy, man. Now, wait a minute. Pastor's out of here. Don't tell him I said all this. Man, we'll be in trouble. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn and labors worthy of his reward. Could I say this? So the teaching here is don't be slack in paying the pastor and or missionaries or those that labor in the word, preaching and teaching, where even you receive and you receive of their labors. And you're supposed to remit, you're supposed to give, and that's why the church is set up against an elder, receive not an accusation. I don't have time for that this morning. We'll talk about that later. And that's not all the old people in the church. That's your pastors and your people that have double honor, that teach and handle the word of God. Somebody comes up to you, well, Brother Tom said this. Do you know Brother Phil? He's got such a foul spirit. And you heard that and you say, yeah, he's pretty bitter, isn't he? And you just go along with that. Say, what is that? You're receiving an accusation. It may be true. I didn't say it wasn't true. You're receiving an accusation against an elder. That Jeremiah, he's so long-winded, he's just like his daddy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. And I thank you for your people and folks that love you and love this book. Bless now our service. Bless the preaching hour. Bless Brother Jeremiah as he takes the scriptures and preaches to us in a few moments. Bless our song service, our special music, and all that's done. Our visitors and those that get in, our offerings, and if there be one that's lost, they be saved today before they leave. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you.